They're not really huge stores as far as space is concerned, but there was still a lot of damage.
The fire is out, but a late night blaze leaves a mark on downtown Skagway. And film festivals travel to northern panhandle communities this week. It's the KHNS Local News. I'm Tara Bicknell with help from Misty Wiley in Skagway. That news and more up next. Firefighters in Skagway have contained a fire that damaged an unoccupied wing of a hotel and several storefronts Wednesday, but they remain on scene with equipment to monitor and clean up. The blaze was reported around 11 p.m. Tuesday in one wing of the 151-room Westmark Hotel in downtown Skagway. Firefighters fought through the night to hold the flames and continued to watch the site through late Wednesday.
Having them keep an eye on it till we were absolutely certain that we're in the clear.
Skagway Police Chief Ray Leggett was one of the officials on scene.
It is contained, but they've been working diligently all night, just trying to keep everything contained, and I think they're doing a really good job. I think it's handled, but they're still in the process of rehabbing it and trying to figure out what to the extent of the damage.
The cause of the fire and the exact damage is still unknown, but no injuries were reported. Leggett says the fire marshal is traveling to Skagway to investigate the cause of the fire, which spread from the hotel wing to two connected storefronts and the side of another building by morning.
A few of the storefronts, they're not really huge stores as far as space is concerned, but there was still a lot of damage.
The hotel wing has in the past years been used for summer worker housing, and the affected stores operate in the summer. Not all of those spaces had fire sprinkler systems. Those workers are arriving in coming months, so the buildings were unoccupied at the time of the fire. Motorists should try to avoid driving in the area, specifically 2nd Avenue between Spring and Broadway, and Spring Street between 2nd and 3rd, while debris is still there. Photos of the response effort are at our website, khns.org, with this newscast taken by KHNS reporter Misty Wiley in Skagway. Sport anglers will not get to fish for king salmon in the Taku River, and personal use fishermen won't be able to use dip nets or have a longer sockeye season. The State Board of Fisheries rejected several requests to change Taku River fishing during its meeting last week in Ketchikan. The salmon-rich waterway east of Juneau runs from British Columbia to Taku Inlet. The sport Chinook fishery was proposed by the Taku Users Group representing riverbank cabin owners. Fish and Game Department staff warned it could violate an international agreement governing fisheries from Oregon to Alaska. Juneau board member Bill Brown spoke in opposition.
It flies in the face of the history we have about freshwater salmon fish, and also we have the problem with treaty fish, and that's an ugly nightmare we don't want to open yet again.
Some of the same objections came up with other proposals from the Taku Users Group. One would have extended the personal use fishery from mid-June through August to coincide with a gillnet opening. Another would have increased the household bag limit based on the number of family members. Yet another would have allowed personal use dip nets in the river, which Juneau residents access by boat. Talkeetna board member Tom Kluberton says it would be popular.
I think we would unleash a tremendous dip net fishery from boats down that way, which would offer much more opportunity to go and try for this harvest.
But other concerns, including salmon treaty implications, led the board to vote the proposal down. It also rejected an Alaska Trollers Association plan to increase access to Taku River kings. Trollers proposed lengthening openings and changing how they're determined. Now they're tied to the gillnet fishery, which has a larger harvest. Kodiak board member Sue Jeffrey said she understands trollers want an equitable share, but she said the plan would create more conflicts.
This is an area where we should just back off for now and let the rebuilding continue. So I'm leaning away from supporting this.
Like other Taku River proposals, it failed on a unanimous vote. Film festivals in Skagway and Haines start Friday. In Skagway, the 4th annual Far North Conservation Film Festival is playing Friday and Saturday at the Klondike Gold Rush National Historical Park. Bruce Dansby is a park ranger there.
We got involved in this because it's just kind of right up our alley as far as what we do. You know, the Park Service is all about promoting conservation and of natural resources and cultural resources, that kind of thing. And that's what these films are all about.
The Far North Festival is organized in Fairbanks each year and has support from the Gates of the Arctic National Park and Preserve in northern Alaska. Education, conservation, and government groups are among the sponsors. Dansby says the 12 films on track to play this year would appeal to a wide and diverse audience.
They tend to be about different subject matter. Many of the movies that we're showing this year are about our food resources, about maintaining sustainable, diverse agricultural practices. But there's also movies about the oceans and about plastics and how they're kind of taking over, and the impact that plastics have on our landfills and oceans and our bodies. So it's very diverse, and I think it would appeal to many different kinds of people.
Although most of the films are from directors based in the lower 48, the Free Film Festival is created for Alaskans, and the films selected by Alaskans.
Actually, one movie this year, which is related directly to Alaska and was done by Alaskans, and that's the Sustainable Northern Shelter movie, and that's about a group of individuals, architects and so forth, who designed a specific kind of structure which would be most adaptable and suited to extreme northern climate conditions, and how they were able to build one of these structures in a very economical manner, above the Arctic Circle and in a native community.
The films wander through subjects like conservation of wildlife, cultures, and wild places from around the world, and movies range in length from 2 minutes to 79. The list of titles includes The Windmill Farmer, Corner Plot, and The Krill Is Gone.
You know, they're all just really, really good. And I would say that, you know, we have a selection of movies which are good for kids. And my personal favorite is Lost and Found, which will be shown on Friday. And it's just a delightful animated movie about this boy who finds a penguin on his doorstep. And then he takes on a personal mission to return the penguin to the Antarctic. So it's a delightful movie, which is only about 24 minutes. There's another great film, one of my personal favorites, which is the following Saturday, and that's called Truck Farm. And it's about these two wild and crazy guys who plant a garden in the back of their pickup truck in Brooklyn, New York. And it's just a wonderful movie, and that's about 50 minutes in length.
Skagway's Far North Conservation Film Festival is Friday and Saturday, March 9th and 10th, at the Klondike Gold Rush National Historical Park Auditorium at 2nd and Broadway. Films start at 6 p.m. each night and run about 2 hours and 15 minutes total. Bruce is reachable at 983-9224. Haines is having its own film festival on Friday night. It's called LunaFest, and it raises money for a Haines charity that helps locals who've been diagnosed with cancer. Southeast Alaska State Fair and Search's Wise Woman program are bringing the nationally available LunaFest to the Haines audience. Jess Edwards is with the fair.
They get 850 or so submissions every year, and the films are all made by women, and the subject of the films are women. And they select 9 or 10 of those films out of 850 every year.
Luna, a division of the company that makes Clif Bars, offers the Film Fest as a fundraiser. Most of the money from the Haines event will help causes in Haines, like this organization that began in 2008 and has served 15 grantees since.
85% of the proceeds from this will go to the Haines Cancer Travel Fund, which is administered by Hospice of Haines, and it's a fund that folks who have a diagnosis of cancer can apply to help defray some of the costs.
About 20,000 people attend this festival in 150 cities across the country each year. That has brought in about $1.2 million for breast cancer research and local charities since 2000.
We've seen all the films. They're totally different from the two other film festivals that we've done, which were more adventure and action-based. These are films that are about kind of universal issues that people face, primarily women, but they kind of affect everyone. They're about issues around the globe. So there's a film set in Africa. There's one that's set in Australia. It's actually a Persian wedding in Australia. There's a film in Iran, one in Germany, Nova Scotia, and the U.S. So it takes a kind of a glimpse into people's lives around the world and focuses on some of the issues that people face.
She explains that the films, which are 4 to 15 minutes in length, cover a diverse range of issues with a mix of inspirational, humorous, and heavy documentary issues.
One of my favorites is a very short film about a group of women who play rugby in an inner city, and you just get this kind of piercing glimpse into their lives. One of the lines that the woman says is, "There was a shooting last night when we came to practice right at the field." And you just get a sense of what these ladies have to overcome to come and do this sport together that they enjoy.
Even though the films are by, about, and for women, the Haynes event won't be just a chick flick marathon. Edward says they had a couple male test viewers who had positive reactions.
It's a more diverse group of films and topics, so men will definitely find something to take away from it.
The LunaFest Film Festival is in Haynes Friday, March 9th at 5:30 p.m. at Harriet Hall, located at the Southeast Alaska State Fairgrounds. The fundraiser includes an hour and a half of short films and a Thai-style dinner and dessert. Tickets are $15 in advance at the fair or bookstore, or $18 at the door, $12 for students and $45 for families. A silent auction and raffle will also be at the festival. For KHNS, I'm Tara Bicknell. Special thanks to Misty Wiley for her help with this report.